I'm speaking about the ninth commandment. That is to do with lying. And it is something that we have all been guilty of some time in our lives, of course. And it is something that we can, which is very easy to commit. And at the same time, it is very difficult not to do. Now, we may be unaware of it at times, even when we are doing it, or committing this sin unintentionally, perhaps to make fun out of it. Now, it may not seem critical to us as compared to other sins that may seem more crucial when we sin. Now, I am guilty of it, as I'm sure some, if not all of you, are guilty of it. I can't stress enough that we are only human, and sometimes we are prone to make wrong decisions and wrong choices. So, the ninth commandment in the Bible is taken very lightly out of all the commandments listed. It's not really considered by many people as a major sin when it is broken. So, we already know what the ninth commandment is. But I have to be honest with you, I actually did have to double check myself just to make sure I wasn't going to give you the wrong one. But as we go to the book of Exodus and chapter 20, verse 16, I went there to make sure. And Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor," also known as, "You shall not lie." Now, some even justify that it is okay in certain situations, and many people are unaware that many of the man-made holidays they celebrate is based on a lie. Now, every year, we go through this with the man-made holidays. And the whole world has been deceived, thinking that this day is good to keep, when the whole world is absolutely blinded by the fact that God prohibits the keeping of these days, for example, Christmas and Easter. And of course, nowhere does the Bible say that we should even keep it. And why do we know that? Well, to refresh history, just briefly, we know that Christ was not born in the dead of winter on December 25th, or any other day around that time, as other religions, like the Greek Orthodox churches, say that they keep it even on January 6th. Now, nowhere does the Bible even say that we should celebrate his birthday. Nowhere does the Bible say that we should decorate our dwellings with lights and decorations, that we should exchange presents, get a tree, and decorate it, even though the Bible specifically tells us that we should not do that in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 through 4. And to a more holiday setting, since this is now a designated holiday for religious and unreligious people to observe, pagan customs have devoured the human minds into adopting ridiculous ideas such as Santa Claus that comes and brings presents to children all over the world. And we know there's no Santa Claus, and what parents are telling their children is, in fact, a lie. Christ was not born December 25th. That is a lie. Christmas is none other than idolatry, since it is not from God, and we should not have any part of it. And God makes this very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Now, that's enough of that history. So what I do plan to do today is speak about different levels of lying, if you please. What can be viewed as an innocent lie or a white lie to a more severe problematic lie, which can lead to habitual lying. Now, many people would agree that lying is wrong if you were to ask them up front. However, shortly after, many of those same people would say that lying is okay in a particular situation, saying that it would be necessary at times. For example, when asked about their age, their weight, whether they are sick, about what they're wearing, what they did last night, and so on. But to avoid confrontation, it may just be easier to lie, right? But doing that will reap consequences. Sure, telling the truth can usually spark an argument, since an honest answer is not what the other person was expecting. Even if you believe lying is wrong, then why do so many people say, or why do so many people, people say that there are exceptions to the rule, or to every rule? Now, I came across a list on the internet on things that people say are okay to lie about. And as I go through these, we may ask ourselves if we have sometimes been guilty of saying or doing the same things. For example, you say that you have totally just washed your hands. Or that the reason for the bags under your eyes is not, in fact, that you were out partying last night, but you were up late reading Gone with the Wind. Or you say that you are naturally toned. Or how much you paid for that ridiculous pair of shoes. Ridiculously cheap pair of shoes. Or how much you paid for that ridiculously expensive bag. Or that you are not planning on seeing Marley and Me. Or if you have seen it, you say that you didn't cry. Or that your favorite magazine is The New Yorker. You say that you're a black belt. You say that you made lasagna yourself from scratch. Yeah, how about your height and weight on your driver's license? How about your natural hair color? Or that you stayed at work a full hour after your boss left? Or that you didn't just pass gas right now? Or how about that you know all the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner? Or that, of course, you floss every day, Dr. Smith? Or that you never, ever, ever look at so-and-so's MySpace page? Or that you just absolutely love your step-parents? Or you think that the pink sweater that you have, you really adore, and thank you very much, Grandma? Or you say that you always recycle? You say that you're not the jealous type? And you say that you had one glass of wine last night, not five, because that would be excessive. Now, a lot of these examples that I've given are things that people say all the time. You know, we may say the same thing. Now, many think that a lie will better a situation when telling the truth can make it worse. And to a more serious situation, there were many people in the Bible who thought that giving into lying would get them out of trouble, but the fact is that they found themselves getting into more trouble by lying. Abraham claimed that his wife Sarah was his sister. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 2, Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But see, Abraham wasn't going to have it that easy. And God saw to that in the very next verse, in verse 3, which says, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife.'" Now, it was partially true that Abraham had said about his wife, since she was his half-sister. She confirmed that in verse 12 and 13. However, that wasn't the reason for, you know, just to say that it was his sister, because what Abraham's motive behind it was that the statement was to deceive Abimelech, and therefore, because it was deception, it was a lie. There are also lies that can be blatant denials of guilt, as was the case with Adam and Eve, and moved right down to their son, Cain, who lied to God when asked where his brother Abel was, Genesis 4:9. And to a more serious example in the book of Acts, chapter 5. The book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, we see where lie had a terrible consequences, and this kind of blatant denial would not be tolerated. So in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And verse 10, then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church, and upon all who heard these things. Now, this example, I mean, that's just as bad as it gets right there when you tell a lie. I mean, it's a serious example, one that we should definitely think about. However, it seems very difficult to admit when we are wrong, and it seems so easy instead to justify our mistakes by denying the facts or to shade the truth somehow by avoiding the plain and simple truth. Depending on the circumstances, we may sometimes need to be brutally honest, especially when religion comes into play. Now, I'm not saying to jump into every situation that's thrown at you, but only when asked about it. Now, we do have to stand up for the truth. And when asked, for example, what you did during the holidays or what you're planning on doing for the holidays, how are you going to answer? Now, in general, where do you draw the line when you are just joking around? Those who know me know that I like to joke around a lot. So in conclusion, no, just kidding. No, my wife tells me that I am not funny sometimes, but I know that deep inside she thinks that I am, thinks I'm the funniest person she knows. But I don't know if she is just saying that to make me feel better. But whatever, I'll take it. You can usually tell when somebody is joking around by their body language, by the tone in their voice, and of course, when they finish a sarcastic statement with just joking. Now, I can be sarcastic at times, but I don't think I'm as sarcastic as a few people that I know of. Colorado. So depending on the situation, you wouldn't want to say something that would offend the other person. By the way, I was just kidding. Or you wouldn't want to joke around with the wrong person, or especially if you don't even know them, or in a wrong place. For example, you wouldn't want to say something, you know, joke around at an airport when you're going through the metal detectors, or to the police, say if you got pulled over and they ask you, do you have any idea how fast you were going? And you answer by saying, well, it wasn't me, it was the beer. So you wouldn't want to joke around like that. But we do have to be careful that our joking around does not get out of hand. And how do we know that? Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, and verse 18 and 19. Chapter 26, verse 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Beautiful poetry. Has anybody ever told you something and you have that feeling that something is not right? But you don't want to call them a liar because that would be harsh. Now, if someone tells you that the check is in the mail and you don't receive it for many weeks or at all, or someone says, you get this one, I'll pay next time, or you look great, of course I love you. It's not the money, it's the principle of a thing. Don't worry, this will only take a minute. Don't worry, I can go another 20 miles, even when the gauge is on empty. Or don't worry, he's never bitten anyone. Or the most common one, I'll call you later. Or I've never done anything like this before. Or I'm from your government, and I am here to help you. Or I do. Now, this first part of the message, I was referring to a lighter side of lying. But what would you do in situations that are more crucial? Would it be okay to lie to save someone's life in order to spare your own? Or to lie so you can save your own life? Now, this is a very difficult spot to be in. And of course, we all know that the answer is no. But when we are faced with this type of situation, and this could very well happen, would we be strong enough to make the right decision? Now, this is where our tremendous faith comes in. The Bible does not say that it is okay to lie in a particular situation, such as this, or any other situation for that matter, even though we may think differently in our minds. We have to have faith in ourselves to do the right thing, as well as have faith in God to help us in these predicaments so we can make the right decisions. When Jesus was on this earth, he was in situations like this as well, far worse actually than we've ever been through. And he was tempted by Satan many, many times, and he had to stand up for the truth by not lying. Many had accused him of lying by saying that he was blaspheming and that the Pharisees tried to trick him into lying. Whoever did not believe what Christ said would make him out to be a liar. For example, let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 45 through 47. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. They didn't hear because their minds have not been opened yet. Something only God can do. That is to the utmost importance that we are to worship God in truth. John 4:24. And if we do the opposite, we sin. 1 John 2:21 states that no lie is of the truth. Since we know that, we consider ourselves to be followers of God's truth, then we know that we cannot lie to anyone about anything at any time. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. If we believe that we have to lie in certain circumstances, we don't follow God, but we follow Satan the devil, who is the father of lies, who is the originator of lying. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. In verse 47, Terry read, I'll read again. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, if we are still not convinced how serious lying is and what consequences there are when we lie, especially when we don't repent, then let's go to the book of Revelation, one of the toughest books for many to understand, but this is pretty obvious. In Revelation 21, verse 8, names off a list of things which are considered sinful, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their parts in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is second death. And over to chapter 22 of Revelation in verse 15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now, those who love and practice a lie, you know, they love to lie. Practicing it by repeating it and doing it over and over and over again habitually. Now, those who know when it comes to certain man-made holidays, like Christmas, for example, those who know is wrong to keep, yet do it anyway. They're practicing a lie. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 through 32, history has shown how humans exchange the truth with a lie. And it's all coming back. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and kings, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, man with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Now, in this day and age, it's okay to do all that stuff, and the Bible's not even mentioned, or not even part of the lives at all. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. In verse 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You know, if you ask ordinary people, if you give them a list of all the things that were mentioned there, and they would tell you, well, what's going to be, you know, what's more serious than others? I mean, they're not going to mention things like, you know, being proud or, you know, disobedient, unforgiving, unmerciful. You know, in this society, that's not considered a sin. But to God, all these things are one and the same. They're all considered a sin. And any of these lighter things that we commit is all the same thing to God. So, of course, in this day and age, history has come back, and I'm going through that time again where everything that's prophesied here is taking place. So, now on the flip side, if we do follow God and we believe in Him, then all things are possible. No matter what the situation asks of, then we will know that it will work out all for the good. Romans 8:28. God wants us to be true, and He wants us to be honest, especially with our neighbors. And we'll go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, since 24 was taken, I think. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The words that come out of our mouths must be as pure as gold. We don't need to have it in writing and then signed, like just about everything else in this world today, with written contracts or voice recordings. And you call, a phone company or whatever, and they tell you, you know, we're going to have to record you for training purposes. Now, what they're really doing is recording you, so if you say something, they'll have proof, is what you said. So, the world will soon know how it should be in James chapter 5, verse 12. Because our words will be true. James chapter 5, verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. The day will come where people will be able to rely on us, or will be able to rely on everybody, especially when we say that we will do something, and then we do it. And because we do it, we will be blessed for keeping our word. Turn back to, since we are in James, chapter 1, verse 25. Chapter 1, verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. There should never be a need to lie. We don't have to say everything that is going on or that we know. We can be selective in what we can say, But everything that we do say must be of the truth. We must become perfect, just as God is perfect. And since his will and character consists of perfection, Hebrews 6:18, the result is the impossibility for God to lie.